May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I wonder what you hope for yourself and for our world, and what gives you hope. We all need hope, and when we are without hope, we succumb to cynicism or despair, and life can cease to have any meaning. Today we begin Advent, which is the beginning of the new church year. And above all, Advent is a season of hope. Of course, Advent in this part of the world also coincides with the coming of winter and the shortening and darkening of the days. This is not for us a natural season of hope, like spring, when we feel the instinctive joy of new growth, the increasing light and warmth, the blossom, the colour, the new life. As we go through Advent, we travel deeper and deeper into winter, darkness, barrenness, and cold. Not naturally a season of hope, and some people even have seasonal depression at this time of year caused by the lack of light. Yet, our Advent hope is a hope that persists and grows even in the face of darkness and bleakness. Earlier in our service, we lit the first of our Advent candles, saying the words, "Jesus is the light of the world, a light no darkness can put out. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." As we move through Advent, we will light more of the candles until all five are lit, and we rejoice in the revelation of God's light in our midst. In our reading today from the prophet Isaiah, the people of Israel are told, "Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." As this season progresses, we celebrate the prophets looking ahead and proclaiming that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. We focus on the figure of John the Baptist pointing ahead to Jesus, the obedience of Mary as she welcomes the startling message of the angel and allows the light and hope to grow in her womb. And eventually we will rejoice that the light of Christ has come, in the wonderful words from John's Gospel. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. This light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. As we move through Advent, we look forward with growing anticipation and excitement to the celebration of the coming of God into our world in the baby Jesus. He is Emmanuel, God with us, our light and our hope. But although we look forward with joy to celebrating the light of Christ at Christmas, we are also aware of the depths of darkness in our world around us. Not just the darkness of the days and the winter season, but the darkness of our world. Our hearts and minds can sometimes be overwhelmed as we try to take on the enormity of all that is going on in our world. The fear and misery of those caught up in the endless chaos and violence in Syria. The desperation of huge numbers of refugees across our world, hoping against hope for a new life in Europe and elsewhere. And the cruel suffering of those who've been exploited by people traffickers and subjected to modern slavery. We may be appalled at the rise of populism and nationalism and the blatant disregard for truth and integrity in many of our world leaders and governments. Sometimes it seems that Western civilization is crumbling, even if things are a bit more stable here in Switzerland. It can feel as if the ground is shifting and things are falling apart in our world. And whenever we put our TV screens on, we may feel the very opposite of hope. We may be tempted to fearful dread, cynicism, or despair. And of course, we don't have to put on our TV screens. There is darkness in our own hearts and lives too. We may face personal sickness, stress, or trouble of various kinds. Or we may be very anxious for those close to us. Yes, the light has come in Jesus. But our world and our lives are still very often dark and painful. Today we are reminded that we live in the in-between times, the time between the first coming of Christ as a tiny baby and the second coming of Christ as Lord and King. What God has begun in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus has yet to be completed when his kingdom comes and everything is made new in him. Again, in our Old Testament lesson today, Isaiah looks ahead to a time when there will be justice and peace, when God will judge between the nations, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Many people in our world yearn, indeed, desperately for such a day. On Advent Sunday, we particularly look ahead to that promise of Jesus coming again, when things are put right and there is a new creation. Perhaps this is something we may not think about very much. Yet we do say in the Creed every week, we believe he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Well, we might feel peace, justice, and a new creation is one thing. But what about judgment? Not only judgment between nations, but the judgment of each individual. The prospect of judgment may not seem to be one of hope, but rather the opposite. Isn't judgment a fearful thing? Well, yes, in a sense, judgment is a fearful thing because it exposes what is presently laying hidden. It reveals the truth. And when we are finally judged, everything will be laid bare. All that is currently hidden in darkness will be brought to the light. And I don't know about you, but if I even begin to think about my attitudes and actions, thoughts and feelings that are hidden away in my heart, being openly declared for everyone to see, I am horrified. We will all have to face the truth about ourselves, and I don't think that will be all that pleasant. But yet, there is still hope and joy, because judgment is not only about truth, but also about grace. For it is Christ who is our judge, the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is where our confidence lies. Not because of any trust in our own goodness, but because we already know and trust our judge. We are not judged by a severe stranger. We know him already. The Lord who is our judge is the same Lord who was crucified and while hanging on the cross prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." The Christian hope is focused on Jesus. As one writer puts it, we shall encounter the same person whose holiness, truth, and utter love we already know. The end of the world is no mere event, but a meeting with a person. During Advent, we look back to the prophecies of the coming of the Messiah and the birth of the Christ child, but we also look forward to his coming again as our Saviour and Judge, to herald a new world of justice and peace. The Christian faith is orientated towards the future, and we are reminded of that today on Advent Sunday. But having this future hope doesn't mean we are to become preoccupied about exactly when the second coming may take place, though plenty of people down the ages have tried to work out the year, the month, and the day, and announcing it in street corners and other ways, looking very foolish when the day passed and nothing happened. This is exactly what Jesus in our gospel reading warns his disciples not to do, telling them about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Nevertheless, Jesus continues, they may not know when it will happen, but they are to keep awake. Earlier in this chapter of Matthew's gospel, Jesus has spoken of the need to keep alert in the turbulent events and darkness of our world. Rumours of wars, natural disasters, persecution, and suffering. In the verses we heard today, he urges them to keep awake even in the midst of ordinary, everyday life. Work, eating, drinking, and family life. They must not be lulled into thinking that this world is all there is. They must keep their hope alive and keep looking to him. Likewise, in our New Testament reading, Paul urges the Romans that this is the time to wake out of sleep now, today. Things may seem dark, but the day is near. And so too for us, we are encouraged to live now in the present with an awareness of Christ's presence with us, and to pray that his light will scatter the darkness within our hearts and our world. Our vision of the future is to affect how we live now. As we prayed in our collect earlier, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armour of light now in this time of this mortal life. The hope we can have for ourselves and for our world is what one writer calls the Jesus hope. In him all things hold together, and ultimately in him all wrongs will be put right and all wounds will be healed. He holds the past, the present and the future in his hands. So as we go through Advent, we look back to the foretelling of the prophets and the coming of Christ as a light in our world. We look forward to the final coming of Christ and the renewal of all things. But we are also encouraged to meet him now in the present, the light in the midst of the darkness around us and within us. Today is the day to listen to him, to be alert to his presence and to receive his love. So let us this Advent try and make more time and space in our lives to be still and awake to the Holy One in our midst. I do encourage you, if you can, to come along on Wednesday for our quiet evening as we think on the theme of waiting for God. I will, as I said earlier, be offering two short talks, but there will be lots of space and silence in which we can bring our yearnings for ourselves and our world to him. We can seek to be awake and open to his presence and his love. So let us this Advent keep awake, look to Jesus, and find our hope and our light in him. Amen.